Welcome back to the Nerdcast podcast. This is Eugene, and we're going to look at some baseball today. The baseball draft recently completed, and I'll run down some of the bigger names that the Cardinals took. And that was One Hour Motel with their rendition of Alice in Chains' Rooster. Probably one of my favorite songs of theirs. Check out the website. The link to their Facebook page is there, and you can see all of their songs. So today we're going to look at the MLB draft, and I'll start out by saying this is probably the most complex draft in sports. The quick rundown on how it works, there's 40 rounds. The first 10 rounds, each pick has a slot value assigned to it by Major League Baseball. Those slot values for each team are combined for their spending pool. The slot amounts are not set in stone, but they're a recommendation from MLB of what a team can spend on that pick. Teams can obviously spend more or less depending on how they see fit. It's their money. MLB is not going to get in the way of that. But if they go over their total pool amount, they get penalized. Overages of between 0 and 5% result in a 100% tax on the overage. After that, teams start losing future draft picks plus the tax on the overage. Since they've set up this format, teams have only gone over by 5%. They don't want to lose those future draft picks. They're valued too much. Not even just for the players, but for the slot value that they get in the pool amount. Any player drafted after the 10th round has a slot recommendation of $100,000. Any overage of that is applied to what they spent of their pool and is included in the potential penalty. Every year you'll see teams in the 11th, 12th, 13th round select high school kids, pay them over slot value to get them to buy out their commitment to college. Any pick in the first three rounds is a protected pick. So if a team does not sign that player, they get a pick in the next year's draft. In the first round, it's where they picked this past year. Or the second and third round, there's a supplemental round at the end where they get their pick put. So last year, the Cardinals did not sign their third round pick, Trevor McGill. He went back to college. So they got the 105th pick, the final pick of the third round, to make up for that. Because of that, that increased their slot recommendation by a couple $100,000. The draft has 40 rounds, but teams don't necessarily have that many picks. This year, the Cardinals had 42 picks. They had a competitive balance pick in the first round, which goes to teams with smaller markets to allow them to stay competitive with the bigger market teams. And the Cardinals had the third round pick for Trevor McGill, not signing last year. This year's draft was interesting for the Cardinals. They kind of deviated from their recent playbook. Under Jeff Luhnow, the team was taking safe picks, guys that could get to the majors, but not necessarily be stars, but they definitely had their role on the team. Your Dan Descalzos, Alan Craigs, guys who looked really good, under-scouted because they didn't necessarily have the prototypical tools. Matt Carpenter is a prime example of this. Matt Adams. When they started filling in the system with these more productive players, they moved to a different model where they were still taking the safe players, but they were offsetting them with riskier players. High school players like Shelby Miller, They drafted Austin Wilson, who didn't sign and ended up going to Stanford. Guys that showed a lot more potential to be stars than what they had previously done. Last scouting director, Dan Kantrovich, did the same thing last year, taking Luke Weaver with the first pick. And then their second first-round pick went to high schooler Jack Flaherty. They've also seen rewards from this. Some of the high school kids are developing a little more slowly than the college players. But we've seen guys like Michael Wacha, Marco Gonzalez make it up to the majors pretty quickly. First-time scouting director Chris Correa started off with taking three first-round picks. And then took more throughout the first 10 rounds than the Cardinals traditionally had. They offset those with college seniors because they can sign the college seniors for way below slot and try to use some of this extra money to get the high school kids. It's a risky play, especially taking two high school kids in rounds 8 and 10, where their bonus amount is going to be a lot smaller based off the recommendation. Typically, these kids are taken after the 10th round because if they don't sign, you don't lose your slot money. The Cardinals' draft pool value is at $7,387,200. If they go up to the 5% penalty, that jumps up to $7,756,600. It's quite a bit to play with. It's about middle of the pack. I think it was 13th overall. Just for reference, the first overall pick is actually making more, potentially, than what the Cardinals have to spend. The Cardinals' first-round pick was at 23rd overall, and they ended up selecting Nick Plummer, an outfielder from Brother Rice High School in Michigan. His slot value is a little over $2 million. Apparently, the team's already got an agreement in place with him, pending physical for slot value. In 2015, Plummer hit .520 with 68 runs, 32 stolen bases, 23 RBIs in 41 games. Coming into the draft, he was a pretty highly rated prospect. Some considered him the best bat available in the draft. Keith Law had him at 14. Baseball America had him 11. He's got a short level swing, good bat speed. You're going to see that as a trend in this draft. He's got line drive power right now, but they expect him to physically mature and turn into a more of a power hitter. Defensively, he's going to be limited to left field. He's not really speedy enough for center, although they might end up playing him there like they did Oscar Tavares at first. He doesn't have the best arm, so right field isn't really an option for him. He was committed to the University of Kentucky, but as I said, they've got an agreement in place, and we could see him start this year at Johnson City based off what newspapers out of Detroit are already saying. The Cardinals' competitive balance pick was number 39 overall, and they selected Jake Woodford, right-handed pitcher from Plant High School in Florida. He's kind of a maturing pitcher. Fastball right now sits at 90 to 94, touches 95 occasionally. The good thing is he keeps that velocity up late into the games. Right now he's got an average changeup and slider, and if he can work on those, he's got a number two ceiling. Floor is probably back of the rotation starter. I've seen a couple comps to Lance Lynn based off stuff. So if we could get a younger version of Lance Lynn, that'd definitely be a good thing. His slot value is $1,585,400. He's committed to Florida, and I expect them to use the full slot value to get him signed. With pick number 66 overall, their second round pick, Cardinals took Bryce Denton, third baseman from Ravenwood High School in Tennessee. He's another solid bat, power potential, good bat swing. They said he should stick at third base. He's got soft hands and a strong arm. He's smaller than other third basemen in the class. I've read a few places saying he could see a little time at shortstop due to his size. He's committed to Vanderbilt, slot value of $935,000, which I expect he'll sign pretty close to that. The benefit for the Cardinals is he grew up a Cardinal fan and visited Busch Stadium the day before the draft. With their first pick in the third round, number 100 overall, the Cardinals went the college route finally and took Harrison Bader, an outfielder from Florida. Again, good bat speed, solid power potential, left fielder, probably won't see any place other than that. Slot value is a little bit over $570,000. Again, I don't know if they can get him for a lot cheaper than that. So that's four picks right off the bat where they're going to be spending close to or exceeding slot. Supplemental third round pick for Trevor Megill, number 105 overall. They took high schooler Jordan Hicks, right-handed pitcher from Cypress Creek High School in Texas. Solid fastball, hits 93. He's got a good changeup. Needs to work on his timing, though. Something the Cardinals could definitely help him with. He's committed to Tulane, slap value of $543,300. He's considered a hard sign. They're going to have to spend more money to get him to sign. So in the fourth round, the Cardinals go value mode. With pick 131, they take Paul Jijong from Illinois State. He's a third baseman. He hit pretty well, 333 average, 605 slugging. Problem with him, he's got a high K rate. He's a senior, so they'll be able to sign him below slot. Slot here is $422,900. I don't see anything more than $10,000 being offered to him. He'll probably take close to that. One benefit of him is he has experience at catcher and the outfield, so they can move him around. I wouldn't be surprised if they see him starting out at catcher right off the bat. In the fifth round, pick 161, Cardinals took Ryan Helsley, right-handed pitcher from Northeastern State. That's a Division II school, so not as highly scouted. He's a sophomore there, making his signability a little more questionable. To be drafted as a sophomore, you have to be within a certain amount of time of your 21st birthday. He's a hard thrower. He's pretty raw. He was the MIAA Freshman of the Year in 2014. His slot value is $316,500. Again, I don't see how they're going to be able to sign him for less than that. Pick 191 in the sixth round was Jacob Evans, left-handed pitcher from Oklahoma. He was a junior coming off a rough sophomore year, but pitched better in the Cape League between his sophomore and junior year. He had a 1.67 ERA. 53-10 strikeout to walk ratio. Slot value here is 237. I expect him to sign close to that. In the seventh round, 221 overall, the Cardinals took Jesse Jenner, a catcher out of San Diego. He's a senior, so he should sign for a lot below slot. The slot value there is 179-100. A contact bat joining a system that's thin on catching, so he's a welcome addition. In the eighth round, 251st overall, the Cardinals took Ian Oxnavard, left-handed pitcher on a Shorewood High School in Washington. He was considered a top five-round talent with a commitment to Oregon State. Slot value is 167.4, and to get him signed, they're going to have to spend quite a bit to get him, probably over $500,000. Hopefully, they can start saving enough with these two college seniors they got. Pick 281 in the ninth round was Andrew Broadbeck, second baseman from Flagler. Flagler's another small school. He's a senior, probably not highly scouted. He's going to be a low bonus guy. Slot value is $156,200. Possibly got an arm for third base or the outfield. They don't know if he'll stick at second base. There's not enough scouting information. He has a good walk rate and strikeout rate. Shows decent power and okay speed. He's got another pretty good bat. The Cardinals finished their day two drafting by taking Kep Brown, an outfielder from Wando High School in South Carolina, at pick 311, the 10th round. Slot value is 149.7, and he's going to be a very hard sign. He's committed to the University of Miami, a hard school to get by guys out of. It's already been reported that he's texted the Palm Beach Post announcing he's going to honor his commitment to Miami. This is a questionable pick for the Cardinals because everyone knew it was going to be a tough sign. And taking him in the 10th round and not signing him means the Cardinals are going to lose $150,000 onto their bonus pool. There's talk that they might have done this to prevent another team from taking him in the 11th round and trying to give him a huge bonus, but it's kind of an unprecedented move by the Cardinals. It's definitely a head-scratcher. On day three, the Cardinals took a few other pretty intriguing players. Paul Zalazar was the 11th round pick, right-handed pitcher on a Lutheran South Academy in Texas. In 12th round, they took Jacob Schlesinger, left-handed pitcher out of Logan Rogersville High School in Missouri. Both those are going to be tough signs, though. Probably high bonus guys if they can save some money on the first 10-round seniors. 17th overall, pick 521, the Cardinals took Christian, yeah, he's the catcher from LSU. I think he's an intriguing bat in a system with very few decent catching prospects. 21st round, they took Gaden Grainer, shortstop from Bishop Gorman High School in Nevada. He was getting some first round picks in mock drafts early on. 23rd round, they took Gio Brusa, outfielder from Pacific. I think he could be a solid sleeper for this draft. 25th round, they took Kyle Molnar, a right-handed pitcher from Aliso Niguel High School in California. He was mentioned in the first round often. Other local guys that they took Matt Vierling, CBC High School. He's going to be a tough commitment to buy out of. He's going to Notre Dame. I don't see them offering enough for him to stick around with the team. In the 38th round, they took Orlando Olivero, outfielder from Missouri Baptist. And in the 40th round, the final pick, they took Joseph Hawkins from Missouri State. He's shortstop. When you get down that late in the draft, most of these guys are just going to be filler for the system, though. So they'll play in the low minors, probably never advance. Every once in a while, you hear one of these guys sneaking up and ending up having a decent career. Like I said, when I started out, it was an interesting draft for the Cardinals, branching out from what they've done. It was definitely going to be risky for them, though, taking so many high upside high school kids in the first 10 rounds that could possibly leave and draw from their bonus pool. I really hope that they can sign all of them. The 10th rounder looks like he's going to be impossible to sign out of Miami. Cap Brown, he'd be a nice addition to the system, though. One thing that they did target a lot here was power in the first 10 rounds of the hitters. It's one of the major weaknesses of the system, so that's good that they addressed that. Overall, it was an interesting draft. I'm looking forward to seeing how it pans out in the future. Check the site, nerdcast.com. It's nyrdcast.com. I'm going to have a Cardinal draft tracker where you can follow what they've done with their signings, how much they're spent on their pool, how much they've gone over. If you want to check us out on Facebook, we have a Facebook page. Just look up Nerdcast. We're on Twitter at @nerdcast.